TSN 690 in Montreal. Sean, welcome back to the show, man. How are you?
I'm doing quite well, a lot better than the Alouettes.
Yeah, let's start there. Now, I can actually understand why Cato gets annoyed when a media guy comes in late on such a personal question and asks him to talk about the death of his friend again. I could see that maybe annoying him. And he stood up in practice, kind of got into it with his receivers, saying, hey, they're not showing respect. Some would say it's leadership. Some would say it's maybe being too sensitive. What do you make of this whole situation? How quickly are things unraveling in Montreal?
Well, it's unraveling, that's for sure, and they need to stop it just by winning some football games. Today's incident, look, I am in the camp that it's completely understandable. This is emotional. This is where he is, and he just doesn't want to rehash another question which he's been asked about already. So then, getting into what happened in practice this week, I'm all for a guy that has now been anointed the number one. They traded away the other guy. There's no other quarterback right now. And to establish your leadership. I like passion. I don't mind when there's fights in practice and stuff like that. I'm okay with it. But there was a tone to this one, which is 3 days later, he's still not talking to his wide receivers a day before the game against Hamilton. There's something there. And even Anthony Calvillo said, look, there's good to have passion and you know, a good fiery attitude and to take charge, but there's something else that brings on. He's like, there's too much negativity here. It's not positive energy. So right now, things do not look good for the game tomorrow night against Hamilton.
You know, Sean, it's interesting you'd say that. I got that sense in the limited clips I saw. Usually, you say what you got to say, or even if you're throwing punches, that's happened before, and then you get back to work because at the end of that work day, you're still teammates. But this sort of seemed to linger and have that nasty edge to it. Like, is there more to this than what we see?
Yeah, I think this has a lot to do with a guy that is a number one quarterback on a team right now, and he's not getting the respect of a number one quarterback from his team right now. I think that there is players that aren't doing things that they did for Kevin Glenn that they're not doing for Rakeem Cato. And, you know, Kenny Stafford's been in the league for a little bit. Ron Carter is the Ron Carter. And I think that they kind of have a feeling of what Kevin Glenn was able to do. And maybe they just feel that Rakeem Cato can't. And right now, it doesn't matter because it has to be Rakeem Cato. Vernon Adams Jr. is just not ready.
So, well, they're 3-9, 3-8 right now in the season. They're still
3-9. Look, they're going to lose tomorrow, so it's okay. You can, yeah. 3-9.
Okay. But now, let's say they stun the world and win that game, which I know would be a major shock. But if they find a way, like, it's not like they're out of it. They're only 4 points behind both Hamilton and Toronto.
No, it's the CFL. Look, we know that this stuff like this can happen. You can turn things around. You just go on a bit of a winning streak. You start winning after Labor Day, and then next thing you know, you're in a great cup. You just have to be better than three other teams in this league to make the playoffs, and then you just have to win a couple games, and you're good to go. This is possible. With the Alouettes defense, this is possible. They have talent. They have a rusher and Tyrell Sutton, who led the league in rushing last year. This is a guy that can run and they can rely on. They have De'Ron Carter. He can go out there and have a 150-yard game with two touchdowns. This can happen. It just doesn't seem likely, that's all.
And, Sean, still with the L's, if it doesn't happen, and I suspect it won't, as I think you probably do too, they still have to play the game, obviously. There's got to be some changes down the road. This has just been way more sideways. And I don't just mean results are the most important thing, but little bits and pieces here and there and what's said in the locker room and these latest things. There's just something not right there with this mix of players.
Yeah, and I told you, they got talent on wide receiver. They have talent running back. And I like the potential of Cato or Adams Jr. down the line. I think that these guys have proven at the college level they can lead a team. Now they have to figure it out if they could do it at the professional level. There's a huge problem with the Montreal Alouettes offensive line, and it has been an issue all season long. It started with Luc Brodeur-Jourdain being hurt to start the season, so they had to shuffle the deck a little bit. Some young guys are getting an opportunity right away. Now, they've been together, for the most part, all season long, but that's one thing. That's how you build a great offensive line, is you don't change anything. We saw that with the Alouettes for years on end with Josh Bourque, Jeff Parrott, Brian Chu, Scott Flory, you know, Paul Lambert. These guys were there all the time, and they became one of the best offensive lines in the league, but they did have to go through some growing pains. Now the Alouettes are going through these growing pains. They have to decide, do they just want to stick with it, go with these guys this year, next year, and they'll just be better for it, or make the wholesale changes right now on that offensive line. To me, offensively, this is where the problem starts and ends.
Moving over to the Montreal Canadiens, Sean Campbell from TSN 1090 or 690 joins us. The Habs, of course, pretty eventful summer. The Shea Weber, PK Subban deal was massive, and then they surprised some people, giving Radulov a one-year deal, and signing Andrew Shaw in free agency as well. So lots of changes, and of course the return of Carey Price. Now, how concerned is that organization that when one player went down, the rest of their team basically just fell apart?
Yeah, it did. That's exactly what happened last year, and there is concern. There's not a concern if Max Pacioretty goes down. There's not a concern if Brendan Gallagher. They had to deal without Gallagher last year for long stretches of time as well. There's probably not less of a concern even if Shea Weber goes down. Alex Galchenyuk. It's if Carey Price goes down, this city would implode. It almost imploded last year with how everything went down. They thought he was going to be back in 4 to 6 weeks, then it became 2 months, and then it came. And then it was, maybe he'll get a game in at the end of the year. And now they're just watched him play 2 hockey games, and it's been the first time in 10 months. It can't happen again because he is that valuable to the team. But Mark Bergevin has to realize if something like that happens, he has to have a contingency plan. And he didn't have it last year. And I think this year he shored up a little bit more offense with Radulov. I think that he wanted to make sure they were more defensively stable with Shea Weber and have grit and leadership with an Andrew Shaw, Shea Weber as well, that if things are going wrong in a dressing room, that they can right the ship right away, because things fell apart when they started losing it, and it started to unravel a little bit like the Alouettes right now.
Sean, you mentioned things in the dressing room, and you also mentioned Radulov. I see a connection there. Bergevin obviously needs some scoring, and Radulov is a talented guy. He's still not too old to be effective, but there must have been some long, hard thought go into bringing in this player, given his history. Was that the case there?
I think he thought about it, but I think he also looked around at the free agents this summer, and he needed to bring in offensive talent, and Radulov was right there on the top of the list of free agents available to Montreal and willing to sign in Montreal. So I think that he had to take that risk. It's a bigger risk than Alexander Semin. He took that risk with Semin last year, but in the end, it cost him $300,000 because the team, they just mutually bought each other out. This is a $5 million investment, but I'm one who never really care about the money. The $5 million, that's fine because it's 1 year. You don't have to worry about this next year. Things aren't going well. You're going to find a trading partner possibly down the line. Someone's going to want to bring him in, and because there were other teams that were interested in Radulov. This is very low risk, even at $5 million, but it's a very possible high reward because this could be a 50 to 60 point player, maybe 65 point player for the Montreal Canadiens if he's with the right opportunity.
What's your expectations of Radulov, and where do you see him fitting in the lineup?
I see him on the right side with Thomas Plekanec and Player X. If that Player X is going to be outstanding this year, by the way, because I see Galchenyuk, Gallagher, and Pacioretty together. And you know what? It's not unforeseen to see Galchenyuk maybe play with Radulov, but it would seem unlikely that Galchenyuk, Radulov, and Pacioretty would play together. So I see Radulov and Plekanec, a nice combination in a second-line role. Maybe they have an Andrew Shaw. Maybe they have one of their younger guys on the left side. A lot of talk about Arturi Lehkonen, as the Canadiens have the rookie tournament this weekend in London, Ontario, that he could possibly go for a spot there. But I think this is someone that could probably pot 20 to 25 goals for the Canadiens.
Sean, who is going to be the go-to guy for colorful quotes and write the headlines for the newspaper guys with PK Subban gone?
I don't know. These guys can get pretty bland. They're pretty well media trained. Look, Lars Eller was fun too. Lars Eller would just say some real goofy stuff sometimes. You're like, really? Like one time there was a goalie change of the game. It's like, hey, did you guys change your strategy when they changed the goalie on the other side? And then he's like, they changed the goalie? I didn't even notice. I'm like, Lars. But, you know, he's gone, and P.K. Subban's gone. Gallagher is a nice touch. He's a breath of fresh air, but he's well media trained. There's not too many players left on this roster that's going to shake up Montreal with something that he says into a microphone.
Sean, should be an interesting off season. Should be an interesting weekend covering the Alouettes. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks. Have a good one, guys.